Good afternoon, Laurier, and anybody else listening in other regions. Welcome. Hope everyone's doing well on October 24th, 2018. A little chilly out there today. Hope everyone's nice and bundled up. It's not too bad. Wind's a little crisp, but not the worst day we've had in this October month. Hope everyone's doing well. Don't worry, I'm with you in the whole exam season grind. It gets better, so they say. Midterm season hits us all hard, but hopefully we can all get through it and get through it well. So I wish all of you luck in your upcoming midterms, or if you've done all your midterms, then congratulations, you're done. Finals are just around the corner, so don't get too excited. But yeah, enough about all that. We're here to talk about hockey, because it is, after all, Richard's Ringside Radio. So, like I said, welcome. But let's get started. We're going to go here in sequence of my notes. Now, a lot of you might notice that we tend to cover yesterday's scores, I'm talking in general, the previous day's game, like the scores. We typically talk about that at the end of the show, and the reason because of that is because I do my notes from last Wednesday to this Wednesday. So last night's scores are the last thing I talk about because it's the most recent thing that's happened. So some of my stuff might even be from last Wednesday, like after the show ended at 5. That's just how that is because I don't want to miss on reporting some stuff. And, you know, it doesn't matter, in my opinion, if it's not chronological. I don't know. Regardless, let's get into it. So, I don't know if many of you know who Jordan Tutu is, but in the native community, he's rather big. Because he was the first Inuk NHL hockey player to ever play in the NHL. If you ever watched him play, last time he played was maybe a year ago, but his best days were with Nashville, in my opinion. So if you remembered how he played, he was one tough guy, like never afraid to throw a hit, big not that big, but physical, and just a real team player. So Jordan Tutu retired earlier this week. So he had 65 goals and 96 assists in his career and 1,010 penalty minutes in 723 NHL games. So not a bad career for Tutu. Originally drafted by the Nashville Predators and spent the most of his career there. Also played with Chicago and Detroit and New Jersey as well. So Jordan Tutu retiring. Keeping with Nashville news, the Nashville Predators put Pekka Rinne. I don't know why I started on that one. I was going to say Vezina Trophy winner, but I don't think he won. Oh, no, he did win last year. Yeah, so Vezina Trophy winner Pekka Rinne on injury reserve with an undisclosed injury. So we're not sure what that is. But regardless, he's on injury reserve, and they had UC Saros playing last night against the Sharks. So Rinne out on injury reserve, which is... It's tough for Nashville. They're on a good streak, and I imagine they don't want to try and... I imagine nobody would want to deal with that at any time, but even worse when you're on a streak. Speaking of a team that's on the opposite end of that streak, the Detroit Red Wings getting their first win in a 4-3 overtime win against the Panthers. I think that was dating back a couple days ago. But you can't even say that you're surprised, because if you look at their roster, it's pitiful. I mean, they have done nothing. But I guess that's the whole point, right? It's a rebuild. They're just stockpiling picks, and that's their objective right now. I mean, in my opinion, looking at their prospect pool, it's okay. You compare it to other teams. For a team that's on a rebuild, their prospect pool is not very heavy, in my opinion. I mean, you've got guys like Mantha, who's doing okay. Svechnikov's out on injury reserve after knee surgery. Not a lot of defensive prospects, or not at least a lot of notable defensive prospects, I should say. Who else? Larkin. I wouldn't necessarily say he's young, but I wouldn't say he's a prospect anymore. Not a lot of goaltending prospects. Michael Rasmussen. might get sent down this year. Zadina didn't even crack the lineup. So speaking of Zadina, I mean, I'll be honest. When Montreal selected Jesperi Kotkaniemi third overall and Zadina fell, like, I think fifth or sixth. I think it was sixth overall. When Montreal picked Kotkaniemi, I hit myself in the head pretty hard. I'm not going to lie, because I was astounded that they would have picked for position as opposed to picking what I thought was clearly the better player in Zadina. Zadina had way more points. He was much more notable, I guess you could say, than Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I didn't hear about Jesperi Kotkaniemi until 4 days before the draft, when there was whispers that he's attracting a lot of attention from Montreal. And when that happened, I was just, no, don't do that. Come on, don't pick for position. Pick the better player. And, I mean, that kid's proven everybody wrong. I mean, he's just getting better and better every game. So cheers to Jesperi Kotkaniemi. But, you know, I'm sure Zadina will still be a great player. He didn't crack the roster this year, but that's fine. I imagine, you know, he'll turn it around eventually. And, hey, maybe we'll see both of them face off against each other at one point. Hopefully, Kotkaniemi can win that face off. Anyway, sticking with the prospect idea, Vancouver Canuck prospect, or I guess young player. I don't know how I would describe Pettersson. Elias Pettersson, if you remember, had a concussion after taking that, I don't know how to describe it, like a rough takedown from Matheson when they played against Florida. So he got a concussion from that. But Pettersson began skating with the team again, so he should return fairly soon. Actually, I was watching the other day on TSN, somebody was talking about, I think it was Jerry, somebody... He was talking about how the hit on Pettersson wasn't that dirty, and the reason that Matheson got suspended was because Vancouver's coach, Travis Green, came out and said that the league needs to take action or something, or like let the league take care of it or whatever, which he, in Cherry's mind, felt put too much pressure on the league, and they suspended Matheson just to maintain that reputation. So I kind of agree with that, because watching the play, I don't think it's that bad, if I may say. I've seen a lot worse, you know, it'll be let go. So kind of a surprising suspension for me, especially to get two games instead of one. But c'est la vie, am I right? Anyway, moving on. Marc-Andre Fleury passed Glenn Hall for possession of 10th all-time in wins for goaltenders with 408. So congrats to Marc-Andre Fleury. Obviously, Fleury getting most of those victories with his days in with the Penguins. You know, but we'll see if he continues to rise up that list with Vegas, with their struggling. And we'll see how that works. The former Islander owner, Charles Wang, died on October 21st. He was aged 74, so he bought the franchise, and I think back in 2000, and, you know, maintained them, financed them. And I think he's the one who put them in the Nashville Coliseum, and which is where they've been playing in and out of for the past two seasons. I mean, they've been playing in the Nashville Coliseum for like 15 years or something like that. But they've been in and out of there and the Brooklyn Arena for the last 2 years. I don't know. The zoning issues. They're not the only team with arena issues. Arizona's got their problems. And what was the other team? Oh, Calgary's. They're worried they might not get any money from the city for their arena. I mean, the Islanders aren't alone in the whole homeless, arena-less situation. Anyway, back to Vegas. Alex Tuck, the winger, taken from Minnesota in the expansion draft, signed a 7-year, $33.25 million contract extension with Vegas. So he's making $4.75 million a year. And last year, he had 37 points. What do I think about the deal? I think it's good. Like, I'm just looking at the numbers now. 7 years. I think Tuck is, like, 22. Or 20. Let me take a look at that. Oh, don't know what that noise is. Oh, Lord. Someone's pulling drywall in the other space. All right. Alex Tuck is 22. Yeah, so 7 years for a 22-year-old. With 37 points last year, and it's only going to get better. I like it. 4.75 a year. Also not terrible. I've seen a lot worse deals. That's pretty good. And he's a big, big guy. I would argue he's a power forward. That would be his position. Yeah, I think that's a solid deal by Vegas. So a good move there by, what's his name? Vegas GM. McPherson? Well, now I'm embarrassed. McPhee. I was pretty close. George McPhee. It's a good move by McPhee to sign back Tuck. Also, George McPhee, man, he was really great in the expansion draft. The amount of players and picks he picked up and negotiating with other teams. Like, he managed to get Tuck in a trade because he agreed to take Eric Holla in the expansion draft. Like, that's brilliant. So, yeah, that's my piece on the Tuck deal. Think of it this way, though. Like, Tuck is making $4.75 a year, and not to hate on Andrew Shaw, I love him, but he's making $3.9 a year. Shaw is playing in the fourth line. Tuck is playing probably the first or second line out in Vegas, and he's only making like a million more. $800,000, actually. I don't know about that. So, that's a pretty solid deal by the Knights. Anyway, moving from that, Keith Primo, former Flyers captain, is biking through Israel to raise money for charity. Now, this is funny. When this came up, it made me giggle because my dad and I were at an Oshawa Generals game, not last weekend, but the weekend before. And we were talking hockey, as we do, because whenever we go to... My dad and I love to talk hockey, and it's even more highlighted when we go to like hockey games, right? We love watching the Generals. It was like our first Generals game in like 3 or 4 years. So we went out there and we didn't know any of these players. So it was hard for us to be like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, like that guy in junior or whatever. We didn't know any of these guys. I knew one of them and that was it. So we started talking about hockey from the 90s and the early 2000s. And we were trying to think about whom, like Flyers captains, we were trying to think of this one player for Philadelphia like in the early 2000s or late 90s who was like just a great two-way player. Kill penalties, would block shots, would score. He'd do it all. We were trying to think, and we were like, he was the captain. So we started running through captains. We were thinking Giroux, Pronger, Richards, Forsberg, you know, Darian Hatcher, you know. And then we couldn't think of it. And eventually, after consulting one of my friends, who I had them look it up for me, we found out it was Keith Primo, and that was the name we were looking for. And the reason that we were talking about Keith Primo is because we were talking about local players. We were talking about, because I'm from Whitby, so which is near Oshawa, so we were talking about, you know, Adam Foote, James Neal, and Keith Primo. So that's where that came up. So when I saw the Primo news, I giggled a little bit at that. So I thought that was kind of funny. Also something that I thought was kind of funny was so the NHL did a poll amongst players, who's the toughest goalie to score on a breakaway? And so unanimously, Carey Price wins that poll. He got 16 votes, Price did. So 16 players would argue that Price is the hardest goalie to shoot on a breakaway. I thought it was interesting. It really does solidify that even though Price had a really off year last year, he's still highly regarded as one of the better goalies in the league, which I like. Rene, Pekka was ninth. Well, not ninth, but he was second, and he had 9 votes. That's obvious, unless it's in the playoffs and they're playing in Pittsburgh. Jonathan Quick was third with 6 votes, tied with Lundqvist, who also had 6 votes, which I thought was interesting because I don't think Quick's ever won a Vezina, which is very surprising. And Lundqvist, who I'm surprised that players still regard, I mean, don't get me wrong, Lundqvist is great, but I'm surprised that they still regard him as one of the better goalies. I mean, he's still very, very talented, but yeah, I'm surprised that they put him ahead of other goalies, you know? Okay. It's so dry in this studio. My voice is just going on me. Anyway, moving forward on that, Fleury had 5 votes for fourth place. Tie with Sergei Bobrovsky, who had 5 votes. I would think Bobrovsky would be a bit higher, considering Bobrovsky's a 2-time Vezina winner. So I'm surprised he finished only fourth. Tuukka Rask was 5th with 3 votes. Tie with Frederik Andersen of the Leafs. Andrei Vasilevskiy had 2 votes for 6th place. Crawford, Holtby, and Varlamov had 1 vote. I'm surprised that Holtby isn't higher, considering he won a Vezina. And I'm surprised Varlamov's even on that list, because I wouldn't have put him. I mean, is it like mid-2000s again? Like, is it 2009? Like, Sergei Varlamov, jeez. I didn't know he was still high, like still held in very high regard among NHL players. I mean, granted, it's only one vote, but I mean, to even put him on that list, unless that one vote came from a Colorado player, then that's just awkward. But I was surprised when reading this list that there were some pretty big names not on this list. You know, guys like Martin Jones, you know, in my opinion, Martin Jones is a pretty good goalie. Ben Bishop, who's a former Vezina-nominated goalie. Why he wasn't voted is very surprising to me. John Gibson is another one that's surprising. Corey Schneider. I mean, there's tons of names that weren't on this list that I found very surprising. They're good goalies, but apparently guys don't think it's very tough to score on them on a breakaway. Moving on, Johnny Gaudreau in a game against the Rangers scored his 300th point on a very nice goal. I don't know if you've seen it, but he just sent this Ranger defenseman straight to the ice with this move he made. Like, they call him Johnny Hockey for a reason, and can that boy ever just move that puck, man? Like, very talented player. Speaking of talented players, the Anaheim Ducks retired Paul Kariya's number 9. So the only other number retired by the Ducks is teammate and friend Teemu Selänne. And his number 8, naturally, the Finnish Flash. So, Paul Kariya is the first pick in Anaheim Ducks history, back when they were the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. So, he had 300 goals with the Ducks, and he was captain for 7 seasons. So, he was an Olympic gold medalist, also with Canada. So, Paul Kariya, congratulations to him. So, up on the rafters in Honda Center is Teemu Selänne's number 8, Paul Kariya's number 9, and next year, I believe Scott Niedermeyer's, I think it was number 14 with Anaheim. It seems like I'm not very prepared for today's episode, but I am. It's just I didn't anticipate talking this much about certain stuff. If I'm right about Niedermeyer's number 27, okay, I wasn't. Scott Niedermeyer, this 27, will be retired next season, which is great for Scott. I mean, he was a real class act. I mean, the Stanley Cups in New Jersey, led Anaheim to their first Stanley Cup, Olympic, I think 2-time Olympic gold medalist. You know, what a great defenseman Scott Niedermeyer was, man. Anyway, I like that Korea's number was retired and I ended up talking about Scott Niedermeyer. But anyway, Arizona put Christian Dvorak on IR, so he is having surgery on a torn pectoral muscle. That's unique. I never thought I'd see a torn pectoral muscle in the NHL. So I thought that was kind of funny. Well, not funny, because the poor guy's on injury reserve. But I just never seen that before. Okay, I think now's a pretty good time to go on break. I need a drink. So first up on the list of songs tonight is The Ballad of Curtis Lowe by Lynyrd Skynyrd. This is a good one. So hope you guys enjoy. That was I Want It All by Queen. Another great song, man. Can Freddie Mercury ever sing? Anyway, back to the hockey news. But before we get back to the hockey news, I might interject. I just opened up 5 packs of Tim Hortons hockey cards, and I got some good ones. So I thought I'd list off what I got, if you guys are interested. So we'll start from we'll end with the ones that I personally think are the most rare. So we got Pekka Rinne, Tuvo Tyrväinen. Let me restart and I'll list every player and their team. Pekka Rinne, a goalie from Nashville. Tuvo Tyrväinen from Carolina. Jonathan Drouin from the Montreal Canadiens. Clayton Keller from the Arizona Coyotes. Gosh, how many years has it been? Pierre-Luc Dubois from Columbus. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from Edmonton. Nikita Kucherov from Tampa Bay. Blake Wheeler from the Jets. Oliver Ekman-Larsson from Arizona, Alexander Barkov from Florida, one of the all-star standout cards, so that's Austin Matthews card, the Sidney Crosby all-star standout card, Jonathan Toews, Brett Burns, the game-day action Brad Marchand card, the game-day action Evgeny Malkin card, the superstar showcase Taylor Hall card, and the golden etchings Patrick Laine card. So those last couple ones are pretty interesting. They're pretty rare. Other ones I have multiples of, like, this is my 3rd Jonathan Toews card from Tim Hortons, my 2nd Crosby card from Tim Hortons, I think my 2nd Barkov card, 2nd Kucherov card, The other ones I haven't gotten before, so some good ones. Anyway, moving on from that. Jake Dotchin, former defenseman for the Tampa Bay Lightning. If you remember, a few weeks ago, I reported that Dotchin was kicked off of the team. Or not kicked off, but sent to the minors because he showed up to training camp 30 pounds overweight, thus breaching his contract, and ended up signing a one-year, $800,000 contract with Anaheim, is now filing a grievance against Tampa Bay. So we'll follow that one with slight interest, as it's a slightly unknown defenseman. I mean, I know him, but to the common fan, nobody would know who Jake Dotchin is. Filing a complaint against Tampa, it's, you know, it's just something that happens, I suppose. I don't know. Montreal put Thomas Plekanec on IR as he has back injuries and activates Nick Deslauriers. Deslauriers playing with a face cage after fracturing his, I think it was his cheek or something in his face after getting in a fight in the preseason. And as I heard last night, he has some nerve damage in his face as a result of that fight. So, ouch. The New Jersey Devils put defenseman Steven Santini on IR with a broken jaw after he took it with he took a puck straight to the jaw. Also, not very pleasant. The Blue Jackets activate Seth Jones, and he played Tuesday, making his season debut. He missed the early part of the season with MCL sprains. So the Blue Jackets enjoyed having their, I would say, their number one defenseman back in the lineup. Alex Ovechkin scored his 233rd. Pardon me, his power play goal. That moves him to ninth all-time in power play goals. So, sorry, I'm just looking up the leaders. So Ovechkin has his 233rd. So that moves him past Dino Cicerelli, which surprises me. There's actually a pretty big gap between Dino Cicerelli and Jaromir Jagr. Jagr only have 217. Very surprising, as Jagr is like fourth all, not even, he's what, third all-time in points? No, second all-time. It's all very confusing. Ovechkin, yeah, 233rd, one behind Marcel Dion, two behind Mario Lemieux, four behind Brandon Shanahan. So he's moving into some pretty elite company here. Phil Esposito with 246, Luke Robitaille with 247, Timo Salani, the Finnish Flash, with 255, Brett Hull with 265, and Dave Andrechuk with 274. Now, in my opinion, I'd say Ovechkin can at best catch Salani, maybe Hull. I can't really see him catching Andrechuk. He would have to score 40 goals on the power play. Maybe. I don't know. It's possible, obviously. I'm just looking. I wanted to correct myself here. Yeah, Jagr's second all-time in points. That was bothering me. It's not even close. He's way past Messier. Moving on. Another milestone for Caps players. Nicklas Backstrom recorded his 600th assist. Wow. That's and 600 assists with one team, which is very impressive. So congrats to Nicklas Backstrom. Him and Ovechkin, although I don't believe he's playing with Ovechkin as much anymore, as Kucherov, I think, is taking that first line. Nate MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen have a franchise record 9-game point streak going on right now. And those two and Gabriel Landeskog, that first line in Colorado is just killing it. I mean, Colorado, you want to talk about the bounce back of a team? Let's talk about Colorado. I mean, they went from one of the worst teams in NHL history, not even just in the league, but in NHL history. I think they had 44 points or something crazy like that. And now they made the playoffs last year, and now they've got this first line that's just killing it. And MacKinnon's making another strong case for the Hart this year, I imagine, as a lot of people peg him to win it. So Colorado really just lighting it up out there. Similarly, though, the Bruins' first line is dominating as well. The first line being Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and David Pastrnak. So Bergeron he's tied for the league lead with 16 points. Pastrnak has tied Matthews for the league lead in goals with 10. And Marchand is tied second for assists. So now begs the question, who would you rather play against? Nate MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Gabriel Landeskog? Or Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak? I mean, I'm just trying to think. I have to say I'd rather play against like the McKinnon line, just because the Bergeron line, they can just turn in a game around, like, and they can do it in the playoffs too. They proved it last year against Toronto. And what's even scarier is that when they go on the penalty kill, more specifically when Bergeron and Marchand go on the penalty kill, Pasternak doesn't play the penalty kill, but that's still like Boston's first line. They're so dangerous. I mean, these guys, they can kill penalties, but they can score shorthanded too. And that's just, that's a triple threat right there. I mean, nothing, not to take anything away from Colorado's first line, but when you can kill penalties and run the risk of scoring shorthanded goals, that's a win in my books. So I would take the Bergeron line on my team any day. And the, take into consideration the face-off percentages. I mean, the amount of face-offs Patrice Bergeron win, like, incredible. Marchand, I think, has some of the best points per game production in the league. Pasternak is scoring at an insane rate. So is Bergeron. And Bergeron's like a like every year up for the Selkie. That's a lot. I mean, yes, McKinnon is a Hart nominated and I would say eventually a Hart winner player, but this line is just so well balanced. They can play both ends of the puck. So yeah, I would take Bergeron's line.
Oh boy.
Carey Price wins his 289th game to tie Patrick Waugh for second all-time in Habs history, which is incredible, by the way. I mean, if you think of some of the great goaltenders that have played in Montreal's history, you know, you think of Patrick Waugh, Jacques Plante, Ken Dryden, Bill Dernan, George Vezina. I mean, a lot of amazing goalies in Montreal's illustrious history. And it is a big honor for Price to be not third all-time, but tied for second. And he's going to beat Roy, obviously. So he's going to be in sole possession of second. And he's only, I think, 30 wins behind Jacques Plante for first overall. So Carey Price is going to be Montreal's most winningest goalie, which is quite the accomplishment. So Carey Price making some history out there in Montreal. Now, I would say, yes, Price will become the Habs' most winningest goalie. But I think as far as how dominant and how dynamic, I would still wouldn't put him ahead of some of those other guys. I mean, yeah, when Price is on his game, he's amazing. He can win a game, right? But you have to think of some of the stuff these other guys have accomplished. You know, Roy with his two Stanley Cups, Ken Dryden, the dominance that these guys enjoyed. I mean, these guys won Stanley Cup single-handedly. While Price is first, will be first in franchise wins, you know, you always got to wonder where that Stanley Cup is going to come into a factor, right? Can Price lead the Canadiens to Stanley Cup like these other great goalies have? Only time will tell. But the Habs looking pretty good as they beat the Flames last night 3-2. Now, Calgary played their backup goalie, David Rittich, over Mike Smith, which was surprising for a lot of people. But Rittich did play a really great game in New York. So he played again last night, and I watched that game. And let me tell you, that guy was standing on his head. Man, the first period, Montreal came out of the gates with some passion. I mean, they were throwing every puck to the net. They had like 16 shots in the first period. It was crazy. And this guy stopped all of them. It was insane. And they scored off a bit of a cheap goal. Price couldn't save it. He thought it was going wide, and it bounced off of Frolik. So that was a rough one to take. But then the Habs in the second period, boy, did they turn it up. Power play started coming in, and Petrie with a bomb. Looked like Shea Weber out there. Tied the game up. Gallagher got one, and then Drouin scored on a real beauty. So the Habs really, like, they scored 3 goals in 3 minutes and 21 seconds to take the 3-1 lead. But in the third period, they sort of let off the gas a little bit, and Calgary scored one. And it was scary for a few minutes, but they managed to shut them down. So some notable achievements in last night's game. Jordy Benn played his 400th game of his career, and TJ Brody played his 500th career game. So goals for Montreal, Brendan Gallagher, Jeff Petrie, and Jonathan Drouin. And Calgary scored from Elias Lindholm and Michael Frolik. Keeping with last night's statistics, the Panthers were in MSG playing the Rangers. The Rangers won that game 5-2. Mark Stahl played his 770th career game. So he is 2 back from 10th all-time in Rangers history. So keep in mind, Mark Stahl playing every one of those 770 games with the New York Rangers. The only Staal brother to play with one franchise. Now, so far. Now, in my opinion, I thought for sure Eric Staal would have been the brother to only play with one franchise. But good for him for getting the heck out of Carolina and going to Minnesota. Time in New York we'll forget about because that was abysmal. But when he went to Minnesota, oh, the renaissance of his career, incredible. But Eric Staal played a lot of his career in Carolina, I think some of the best years. Went to New York and then is now playing in Minnesota and is having a great time. Jordan Staal was drafted by Pittsburgh but ended up getting traded to Carolina. But Mark Staal, only Staal brother to stay with one team so far. In that game, Florida defenseman Keith Yandle played his 722nd consecutive game, so the longest Ironman streak thus far in the NHL. Pretty incredible, 722 consecutive games. I mean, you know that these guys get injured, and you know they're playing through them, so that's incredible. So goals for this game, Florida goals scored by Hoffman, Trocheck, and the Rangers goals, Matt Zuccarello, Mika Zibanejad, and Kevin Hayes. Next on the docket, Arizona Coyotes versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. So Arizona took this game 4-1. Christian Fisher scored his first career hat trick, and Alex Galchenyuk made his season debut after missing the first couple of games after getting an injury in the preseason. So goals from Arizona, 3 by Christian Fisher and 1 by Dylan Strome. And Columbus's goal was scored by Pierre-Luc Dubois. What is that noise? I'm hearing howling, but I don't know if that's just somebody in the studio or if that's just one of the festive things that they put up in the... The studio is very well decorated, I must say. It is. I mean, there's pumpkins, there's, I don't know, spider webs everywhere. So and it's the good kind of decorative spider webs, not the real ones. Anywho. Where were we? So the Blackhawks took on the Ducks in last night's game. So the Blackhawks won that game 3-1. Brandon Saad finally scored. He scored 2 goals last night, and a lot of people were talking about how Brandon Saad can't score and how the Blackhawks lost the Panarin deal. And, you know, I was reading that general manager Stan Bowman for the Blackhawks said that, yes, obviously, Panarin scores more points than Saad, but Saad plays both sides of the puck, and Bowman didn't want to have to deal with this contract issue that Columbus is dealing with, where Panarin might not re-sign with Columbus. He didn't want to lose Panarin for nothing, so he at least got Saad back. But moving on from that, Chicago, yep, both goals by Brandon Saad and a goal from Patrick Kane. And Anaheim's lone goal scored by Rickard Rakell. Keeping with the West, the Dallas Stars took on the LA Kings. So the Stars won this game 4-2. And the LA Kings lose their 5th straight game. Ouch. Not very good at all. The Kings had a closed-door meeting. And the last time I seen a closed-door meeting was with LA. And a few weeks later, Daryl Sutter was fired. So, could it be time for LA to find a new coach? I don't know. So, in summary, the Stars' goals scored by Blake Como, Jason Spezza, John Klingberg, and Tyler Pitlick. And Los Angeles' goals scored by Anze Kopitar and Tyler Toffoli. The Sharks took on the Preds last night in Nashville. The Sharks won that game 5-4. So, the Sharks scored 3 straight, capped off by a Brett Burns power play blast. I mean, the one-timer this guy got off. Off the pass from Carlson. Whew. That's what they wanted when they brought Erik Karlsson in. To really move that puck on that power play, get it over to Burns, and Burns just let one rip into the net. And that's what they brought Karlsson in for. He's still looking for his first goal, but that's not to say he's not producing out in San Jose. And he's providing a very solid anchor on the power play and just on the defense core. I saw a very interesting thing online the other day. Who would you rather have? Like, which defense corps, Nashville's or San Jose's? In which San Jose, Erik Karlsson, Brett Burns, Mark Edward Vlasic, and Brandon Dillon. And then you go over to Nashville and you have Roman Josi, PK Subban, Matthias Ekholm, and Matt Ellis. Now, player for player, I think Nashville has more better players. Brandon Dillon, I don't think, compares to Matt Ellis or Matthias Ekholm, but I would have to go with San Jose. I mean, even though Brandon Dillon is like the weak link of that top four, and that's a pretty high accusation in general, and Brandon Dillon is not a weak defenseman in any regard, but comparing him to Matt Ellis and Matthias Ekholm is one thing. But you can't pass up on Burns and Carlson and Vlasic. You just can't. I mean, you have two Vezina-winning trophy winners in Carlson and Burns. Carlson with two, Burns with one, and Vlasic, great shutdown defenseman. You just can't compare. I mean, it's just a very strong defensive core on both sides. Like, really. So, moving on from that, though, the Sharks' goals last night scored by Brendan Dillon, Brett Burns, Joe Pavelski, Timo Meier, and Thomas Hertl. Nashville's goal was scored by Victor Arvidsson, Craig Smith, and Philip Forsberg. Why do I feel like I'm missing a note? Hang on. Oh, sorry. I missed one way back on like two pages ago where the Chicago Blackhawks placed goaltender Anton Forsberg on waivers. He cleared waivers and is reporting to the Ice Hogs. Just thought I'd mention that. I saw Forsberg and I made the connection. So, Penguins versus Oilers. I didn't watch this game because it was later. And I was playing last night, so I didn't have time to watch this game. I watched the Habs game and left. But the Penguins and Oilers game, wow. I mean, you want to talk about two superstars going at it. I mean, McDavid and Crosby, I mean, the two titans of the league. Like, yeah, simply amazing, these guys going back and forth. I mean, everyone says McDavid's the best player in the league. Crosby very clearly saying, not so fast. You know, he had a really great game. He scored two goals, his first of the season, and his second being just a simply amazing play. I mean, let me say this. If you haven't watched the goal, then you haven't been involved in the hockey world in all day, basically. This goal is goal of the year so far. I mean, it is amazing what this guy can do. Basically, he was along the boards, and this was in overtime. So he picks up the puck, stops up, uses those great edges of his, and then just finds space. Puts it through Reinstrom's feet, goes around him, keeps the puck away from Darnell Nurse, and outweights Cam Talbot and puts it in on the backhand. I mean, this goal was amazing. I honestly recommend go watch this goal. It's hard to describe, but it is amazing to watch. Sidney Crosby, like, again, that goes to show you how high of an honor it is for Connor McDavid to be held ahead of Sidney Crosby right now. So, I don't know. Pittsburgh's goal scored by Jamie Oleksiak. He scored two. Two goals by Patrick Hornqvist and two goals, of course, by Sidney Crosby. Edmonton goals, two by Alex Chiasson, two from Leon Draisaitl, and one from Connor McDavid. So McDavid and Crosby going back and forth. Crosby obviously winning out this game in a 6-5 overtime win. So it seems like every week we talk about William Nylander and his contract. I mean, when will something get done? I mean, the deadline is December 1st. So when is that going to get done? I mean, talks apparently are heating up as Kyle Dubas met with Nylander's agent. So creating some dialogue, they went and seen a Rangers game together. So we assume that there's some dialogue between the two about the contract. So some people expect there to be a contract named this week or next week. We'll have to see. So how much does Nylander get? You know, does Nylander... He's not going to get as much as Matthews and Marner. That's obvious, right? And I imagine that's why he held out for so long. So I don't know if it was the term or the finances that they're arguing about. I imagine it's both. So where does he fit? I would say... I'd probably say 6 to 7 million a year. I think that's pretty fair for Nylander because he's a first line player, 100%. So yeah, I would say 6 to 7. I think, yeah, I'd say somewhere between that range, like the low sevens though. Seven's pretty high. Yeah, maybe seven's a little high. Maybe like mid 5 to like mid 6 million. I think that's a bit better estimation. $7 million is a little high. So yeah, I'd say mid five million to mid $6 million. Okay, but moving on from that ongoing debacle, on to the latest controversy with the Ottawa Senators. Mark Orbietsky is having a hearing for his elbow to the face of Boston Bruins defenseman Orho. Oh gosh, this one's gonna be tough. Vakanainen. Don't know if I pronounced that right. This is a rookie defenseman. Never heard of him before. But I saw the play, and it's not like he went in for a hit and his elbow, like, rose up and hit him, or, like, it was a hit in the neutral zone and he, like, accidentally made... No, it was... it looked like something that is straight out of a bar fight. I mean, there was, like, a scrum in the front of the net, and this defenseman, for some reason, pinched in, and Orbietsky, like, in the crease... literally just not even stuck his elbow out, but, like, threw an elbow in his face as he was coming in. Not like he was looking down at the puck and his elbow came up. No, he, like, saw him and just elbowed him in the face. So I think Borbieski's going to get 2-3, I think, because that was a pretty blatant, like, attempt to injure somebody. So I think he's going to get 2-3. He's been suspended before. I can't remember what it was for. I remember reading about it. But Borbieski's been suspended before. Don't remember what it was for, though. Something minor. Actually, I'm going to look that up as we wind down in the show. God, this spelling his name is the worst. Okay, anyway, I can't find anything right now. But Borbieski apparently was suspended. I remember reading it, so I know it's true. I've completely lost my train of thought. So we'll just move on from that then. We're running at the end of the show today, right now. So we'll just talk about tonight's games a little bit. Not even talk, we'll just announce what's going on tonight. So the Panthers are playing the Islanders tonight in New York. The Tampa Bay Lightning are playing in Colorado to take on the Avalanche. That ought to be a good one, two heavyweights. Which I never thought I'd say, Colorado heavyweight. But they're off to a great start to the season. Vancouver playing the Knights in Vegas. And probably the one that most people are looking forward to is the Leafs taking on the Jets in Winnipeg. Obviously, you've got the Matthews and Patrick Laine, like, face-off tonight. And people are even more hyped about it because they saw McDavid and Crosby face off against each other last night, so naturally they're excited to see what Matthews and Laine can bring tonight. So can the Leafs end a two-game losing streak? Sorry, I don't know. The Jets are a pretty good team, so we'll have to see. That's my whole thing about the Leafs is that the Leafs, they haven't played a lot of stiff competition yet, so they haven't proved to me how good they can be just yet. So I still am skeptical about the Leafs. Anyway, we're running out of time. I skipped out a lot of stuff. I don't know why. Today we took a lot of time today. I can't really figure out why. I was going to talk about the best contracts in the league, and then I was going to talk about next week how we were going to talk about the worst contracts in the league. But we just don't have any time. As it is, it's 5 o'clock now, but I do want to cover one last thing before I go. So the hockey song, if anybody don't know what that is, it's the Stomping Tom Connors song about hockey. So I'll give you a little clip here if this wants to... Oh, it's buffering. Let's refresh it. Yeah, we missed some songs today. I was going to play some more songs. Didn't get a chance to. Missed out on playing Johnny Cash. It's Folsom Prison Blues, but hopefully we'll do that next week. Yeah, this doesn't want to play. Let's refresh this. There's nobody on after me, so we'll see if we can get this working. No? Why is this not working? Okay, anyway. Yes, the Stomping Tom Connors song, the hockey song. I mean, if you're a hockey fan or you play hockey, chances are you know the song. It's very famous. It's hockey's song. So It is officially being immortalized in the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame this Saturday. So a very big accomplishment, as it's Stomp and Tom Connors died a few years ago. His son is going to be presented with the Hall of Fame plaque, and Tim Hicks will perform the song in honor of Stomp and Tom Connors. So that's a pretty big accomplishment, and it's a great song. I mean, again, I can't play it right now for some reason, but if you haven't heard it, I mean, take a listen. It's really a good time. It may not be your genre. I know that it's a little too folky for me, like that type of music, but I love it. It's on my iTunes list. I listen to it all the time. Whenever I play pond hockey, I grab my Chewbacca speaker, toss it in my pocket, and I put the hockey song out there as I skate around. Snow's falling, and it's great, you know? I don't know why it's not playing. It's a shame. Maybe I'll play it next week. But yeah, so that is it for today's episode. Again, I don't know why we ran out of time so fast. I was worried. I only came up with the worst contract and the best contract idea like a few minutes before the show started because I thought I would run out of stuff to talk about. But we did okay today. We only had to take one music break. Anywho, thank you all so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I hope you all enjoyed. Tune in next week for next week's episode of Richard's Ringside Radio. I've been your host, Andrew Richard, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. Continue to listen to Radio Laurier. We have some great stuff. So right now, I am going to sign out to Sunshine Lady featuring Treason by Citizen Sound. Have a good day.